and welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways, the only ways to handle money. Yes, I said the Bible. There are 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal specifically with money, finances. You don't believe me? Start reading the Bible. We teach these biblical principles on how to invest, how to save, how to give, how to get out of debt, just to name a few, as part of our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can learn more about Compass Catholic Ministries simply by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined by the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean, and our discussion today is all about the importance of giving thanks and how appropriate with this being the day before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is one of my favorite days and even seasons of the year. And it's not about the turkey and the cranberry, I like that a lot, but it's the opportunity to gather together with family and friends and just for the purpose of being thankful to the Lord for all we've been given. You know, we kind of have a tradition of starting out with Mass Thanksgiving morning and sharing bread after Mass and juice and stuff and just being part of a community.
And that sets our morning off really well, because there's nothing better, no better way to give thanks to God than to attend Mass. But, you know, all of us face challenges. Maybe there's financial challenges or health challenges or relationship challenges. Whatever it is, it can get overwhelming unless we take a step back and really think about and reflect on the goodness of God.
God has indeed given us a wonderful world, and we have so much to be thankful for. He has showered us with his gifts, with his blessings, beginning with the gift of life itself. And Thanksgiving Day is the right time to be consciously aware of our blessings.
So Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday in the U.S., and it's celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. But it has its roots in religious and cultural traditions, even though it's now a government-sanctioned national holiday. And I thought the interesting thing when I was reading about Thanksgiving was that many other countries have also designated a specific day of the year as their day of thanks.
You know, almost all religions of the world have ceremonies of thanks to God, and many are focused around the harvest season, as is our own Thanksgiving. You know, I choose to believe that the origin of giving thanks to God comes from deep within the human heart. And that it's, I guess I would call it a natural response to a loving and a gracious God.
You know, I can see why a lot of religions and cultures would have had a day of Thanksgiving that was naturally a part of their customs. Because can you imagine hundreds and hundreds of years ago when people brought in the harvest and there was enough to get them through the winter, how grateful they would be, because they didn't have all the conveniences we have today as far as the refrigeration and the storage processes. And whatever they grew that season and were able to harvest had to last them throughout the winter when they couldn't grow anything.
Absolutely.
So it makes a lot of sense that the harvest season was the natural time to give thanks.
And the great thing is that we can see that our early American leaders and the fathers of our country clearly saw God as the source of our bounty. On November 26, 1789, our very first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration took place. And George Washington spoke of that day as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God.
You know, in today's society, in Washington, D.C., it seems like Thanksgiving is more about pardoning the turkey than giving thanks to God. And unfortunately, a lot of people would like to remove every connection between our faith and our society. But really, God is the source of everything. And on this day, we need to give him thanks for everything in our lives.
Psalm 30, 12 and 13 says, "You changed my mourning into dancing. You took off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, so that my glory may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, forever I will give you thanks. During this time of Thanksgiving, it's easy for us to spend a day being grateful and fulfilled. But here's the kicker, the zinger. How grateful are we the other 364 days of the year for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us?
You know, one of the ways that I think people can become more grateful is to keep a gratitude journal and just every day write down a few little things that you're grateful for. It's a way to keep in mind all those blessings that God's given you that we often take for granted. Another way to bring gratitude into everyday life is to have each person at the dinner table share something about three things that happened that day for which they're grateful.
I think that's a great way of doing it. In fact, our grandkids typically go through that process every evening when they sit down and have their meal. I don't think it's three things. I think it's just one. When you've got everyone from 2 to 18 plus mom and dad, it makes it a little bit difficult to get on with dinner. So one is enough. But I think it makes them realize just how blessed that they really are.
You know, the other thing is at bedtime, we can take a few silent moments and reflect on our day and say our prayer of thanksgiving about the things we experienced during our waking hours. That quiet time with God to thank Him for everything that He's given us is such a blessing and such a reminder of all the good things we have.
You know, Evelyn, you brought this up 2, 3, maybe 4 years ago when we were doing a show for Thanksgiving. And how true that is, and I do make a conscious effort every night to think about three things. Some of them are meaningful, some are so small, but things that I'm thankful for. But what that helps me to do is really think about the role that God plays in my life, that He's there all the time, no matter what the challenges may be. You say prayers, and the solutions seem to come pretty quickly.
The things that you're grateful for are often things that we take so much for granted, like
exactly.
The fact that you saw a rainbow. Or the fact that the car in front of you stopped soon enough for you not to hit it, or they went a little bit further so you didn't bump into their bumper. It's everything. There's just so many things to be grateful for every day in every way.
But you're right. We take it for granted.
We do.
Yeah. I think there's pretty much everything in life, as a rule, we take for granted. And it's you really have to stop. And that's the important thing. Just to stop, then think about things.
You know, and that's one of the things I like about starting our Thanksgiving Day with Mass, because it is a time to stop and consciously be grateful for the past year. And our pastor passes around a microphone. Well, actually, he accosts people in the pews is a better way to put it. And thrusts the microphone at them and says, "And what are you grateful for?" And usually he knows a situation in the family where... But the things people say are just amazing, and they're people you see every Sunday at Mass, but you don't really know what's going on in their life.
No, and especially when you hear stories how an individual has touched another individual, and that individual may not even have known they've done it. It's just something you said, something, a small thing that you did.
You know, you are made aware of situations. I played in a charity golf tournament on Friday, and it was put on by the Respect Life group of the diocese, and there was a specific ministry that they were raising funds for, and I found it very interesting that as the pro was giving out all of the instructions of where we were going to tee from and, you know, mulligans and all that kind of stuff, he said, there's one other thing I want to tell you about, because this ministry that we're raising money for is going from this golf tournament is named after my daughter.
Oh, wow.
Because she was, you know, in a situation, and that's where the name for the ministry came from. And that was like, wham! You know, it was really, and you wouldn't have ever thought about it.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that the pro's wife was driving around with a beverage cart.
Oh, so it's a family affair.
Yeah, I mean, she took time off. She's a pharmacist. She took the day off so she could be on the golf course and to help and give back and that kind of a thing. It's just such a beautiful thing. And you don't think about that. Oh, I'm going to go play golf and, you know, we'll raise money for the diocese or whatever. But boom, there it was.
John, that's a really good witness, because a lot of what we teach in Compass is time, talent, and treasure. And part of our time needs to be spent giving back to the community and being thankful. Part of our treasure needs to be giving back to the community and being thankful. And part of our talent needs to be giving back to the community and being thankful. So that's a good way to wrap up Thanksgiving into a tactical thing that you can do every day of the year.
Maybe one of the things is that we should do, instead of this November 22nd just being a day of Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. we can make this the first day of the year of Thanksgiving 2019, where we actually start a habit, start a practice of being grateful, of giving thanks every single day, and sharing that at bedtime or at dinner time or wherever it is, you know, you are. But make that a practice of just stopping and recognizing all the things that you're thankful for. I've heard it said some places, what would happen if tomorrow everything that you were thankful for appeared, but anything that you weren't thankful for, that you didn't give thanks over, disappeared and you didn't have it? What would your life be like?
Probably for a lot of people, me included, it would be empty, because I don't thank God every day for everything.
Yes.
You know, I'm just as guilty. I know I forget more of what God has done for me each and every day than I actually give him thanks for. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. You can learn more about our ministry and how we can help you. Just go to compasscatholic.org. Our discussion today is all about giving thanks, not just the one day of year, but getting into a habit of thanking God each and every day. Now, we would like to share a few emails that we received over the past year. These are from individuals who have volunteered at the ministry, have taken one of our Bible studies, or have connected with us through the radio show, a podcast, the blog. We had asked a number of them to share with us what they're thankful for. So, Evelyn, how about if you start us off?
So the first one says, I am thankful for the love I feel from family and for living under the grace brought to us by Jesus Christ.
That's a tremendous, kind of all-encompassing, but, you know, that grace that we have. You know, if you look at society today, there's a lot of people that don't think that they have any grace. They probably wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
Exactly. I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty spectacular one. The next one is, I am grateful for my church family. They fill so much of my days.
You know, when I heard this one, when I read this one, I thought of maybe some of our people in our parish that are widows or widowers, or the older people that really can't get out and do too much. And our parish does a really good job of getting those people involved in outreach programs or simple volunteer efforts where they can feel a part of the parish.
See, and I looked at it a little bit different. When I think about church family, I'm thinking about, like you two, I would say 95% of our very close friends are individuals and couples that we met through church, whether it be 5 years, 20 years, 30 years ago.
I know. It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, but if I always think, and Audrey and I have talked about this, if we never went to church, which some people do, believe it or not, you wonder where they meet their friends. That's one of the reasons I love going to church here. You just feel like everybody's family.
But I think that's the key, is you've got people that know you and that accept you for who you are and that have the same values. Mm-hmm. And I know we've been, you know, we moved around a lot in our earlier years, and there were a lot of times when we were in neighborhoods with people who didn't share our same values. And you're always kind of skeptical of them, or there was never a comfort level.
Yeah, it's a sense of uneasiness.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we moved back here from Atlanta, we were here for 14 years, and then we moved to Atlanta for 4 years, and we were really afraid to come back.
To the same church,
the same neighborhood.
Because?
Well, because you hear so much about you can never go back.
Okay.
You know, I would call it, at this point, I would call it a wives' tale. But I mean, we seriously looked at houses all the way up to Palm Coast, which, for those of you who aren't familiar, is almost 90 minutes away from where we live now. But in the end, we came back into the same neighborhood, into the same church, and it was like we had never been gone. For, you know, we just molded right back in. And as Steve said, there's probably 8 or 10 couples that we're friends with that 24/7, it doesn't matter what happens. You can call them and they're there.
The beauty of our parish is it is a welcoming parish. So many individuals that Audra and I have met talk about that, specifically about St. Stephen. They feel welcome.
My sister is a great example of
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
You know, she moved here from San Jose when she retired. She has never been churched ever in her life. Really had no friends, was almost hermit-like in her approach to life. And she's been here 3 years now. She went through RCIA and became a member of the church. She's involved in all kinds of activities.
Wow, is she
involved? Yeah, all kinds of activities at church. Her days are filled, and I think that's just a real blessing that the church is that way. And I think it's not just our church. I think there's a lot of parishes across the country that are exactly the same way and accomplish exactly the same kind of beautiful grace for the people who are parishioners.
The next one says, I am grateful because God never lets go of me. He never gives up, no matter how much I wander away from the path. He always finds his way to me and brings me back with him. In this context, Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 9, has a very meaningful message for us in times of adversity. And this, these verses from Proverbs are all about listening to God's word and learning to hear God's wisdom. So I love that the statement that this person made, because God never lets go of me. And sometimes when we're in difficult situations, it's hard to see that God's still there. We don't recognize him because we're looking in the wrong places, or we're expecting things to go our way, not the way he has it planned.
Or we're so embarrassed or upset with the way that we've behaved that we wonder, how could he still accept, still love me, still hold on tightly?
And it's like the prodigal son. I mean, God is always there, and he welcomes us back no matter how far we wander, how bad we are, or how much we've turned away from him.
So here's one. What are we thankful for? God's word as taught in Compass, as today we have a home that is paid for, meaning no mortgage. And because of that, we have the freedom to help others financially. This year, we helped our neighbor, an elderly widow who needed a new AC unit, a daughter who had a wedding day that was paid for in cash, a path forward into retirement that our financial advisor says looks secure, and generous donations to a medical care facility for the homeless. But most of all, we have contentment with the home, friends, and family that we have today.
Boy, that's a real blessing to us to have someone witness as to the impact Compass made on their life. I mean, that's what we're all about, is helping people be free from debt, helping others, having a path into retirement that's financially secure, being able to help the homeless, and being content. I mean, that's a real blessing to read something like this.
Yeah, last night we did an online class, John and I, and the word contentment came up several times. And the individuals talked about struggling with being content. It was interesting to hear the word contentment come up several times.
Yeah, that's unusual, since you don't really talk about contentment week five or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nothing in our society teaches us to be content. I mean, it's all about buying and getting and having and going, and there's nothing that says what you have is good enough. And it is. It's it's all part of that gratefulness.
Well, and if you read Philippians 4, 11 and 12 and 13, Paul says to them, for I have learned to be content. And somebody as great as Paul had to learn to be content. That just tells you how far we've got to go, because you know, we'd have trouble carrying Paul's shoes. Mm-hmm. But
no, I really feel if individuals stopped and thought about the purchase, that they, and really asked themselves, do I need this? Rather than, do I want it? Because the answer is yes.
Yes, I want it. Yes.
Yeah, but do I need it? I really feel that individuals will start learning to be content. I mean, do I need that next smartphone? Because I just bought one last year, although this year's version, the version, the camera is 90,000 pixels instead of 80,000, or whatever it is.
We can talk ourselves into justifying so much, can't we?
Oh, I'm good at that.
But it's better when you're, even when you're good at it, if you can catch yourself.
Yes.
And say, wait a minute, let's put the brakes on here, bucko. How about this one? I have so much to be thankful for each and every day, but to start each day in faith is my greatest joy. Through faith, I believe that God my Father is in control, and even out of trials, I will be strengthened. I didn't appreciate this gift of faith when I was younger, but now I know it's my driving force. And that's a real statement, not appreciating it when you're younger, right?
Yeah, that's a powerful statement. And you know, we don't appreciate it when we're younger, typically. And to recognize that, and to recognize that you have been blessed, and that you have been strengthened, that's just, it reminds me of a witness where somebody went back over the last 30 or 40 years of their life and picked out specific circumstances, instances in their life that were tests. And that God was strengthening. Each one of those tests was another piece that strengthened their whole character.
Well, see, and I think that's the key there, John, because, you know, we are the people we are now, and God made us that way through the good times and the bad times. And so many times we just want to rush through the bad times without knowing that there's something we can learn and appreciate from those bad times.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's another one. Amongst many things, I am grateful for tender-hearted people who provide loving care for the sick and the elderly. And, you know, I was coming back to Orlando on a plane on Saturday night, and it was an honor flight.
Oh.
So there was 40 or 50 World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War veterans. And each one of those, the oldest guy that was on that trip, they flew from Melbourne up to Washington, D.C. They went to
the War Memorial.
And the Korean War Memorial and that kind of stuff. Each one of those guys had somebody who was much younger with them. Mm-hmm. And there were so many of them that were in wheelchairs. The oldest guy was 93 years old.
Wow.
And they boarded all these guys, and everybody in the airport was applauding, and it was...
I get goosebumps.
Yeah, it was really quite a...
I would have been a blubbering mess if I'd been on the flight with you. I would have just stood there and cried. So, from John and Evelyn and Steve, we want to thank you for listening, and we are so thankful that we serve a gracious and good God, and that we can spread His word through Compass Catholic Ministries. We wish each and every one of you a happy and blessed day as we offer thanks together to our God. So happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving as well. And how about if we start a new habit? Rather than share with your friends and your family one day a year what you're thankful for, let's start something new. Start on a daily basis with sharing with your family. Let's take one item as you go around the table to be thankful for. Or if you prefer, at night as you say your prayers, pick two or three items that you want to thank God for. And before we leave you today, let's answer one of the emails that we received. John and Evelyn, I have promised to help someone in our church financially for a certain period of time as they get back on their feet financially. However, I have since learned that they're handling their money very unwisely. In truth, I really don't want to continue giving until they change some bad habits. But I've already verbally committed. Please help. What should I do?
You know, I think it's a blessing that you've been able to help these people financially. Probably where you missed the boat was if you had conditions on giving them the money, that should have been discussed well before this point. So if you had expectations, that should be decided when you actually gave them the money in the first place.
Since you didn't do that, I think that in this case, you should continue, but only if you have a discussion with the people and talk to them about managing their money wisely. And I'd ask them to go through the Compass Navigating Your Finances small group study and to learn and understand God's way of handling money, and then work with them in a one-on-one kind of situation to learn to be good money managers.
John and Evelyn, that's an excellent piece of advice. And for those listening out there, if you handle money the way God would love you to handle money and somebody asks you for your opinion on finances, please share with them. Give them some of the principles that you have learned, that you practice each and every day, and how God wants us to handle money. Now, if you have a financial challenge that you're experiencing and you'd like to have a second opinion and you want John and Evelyn's advice, simply email your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. And should we use your question on the air that we can share with the listeners, we will not be using your name, though. We'll be glad to send you a copy of the book, Your Money Counts. This is a great book, easy read, that will show you some of the biblical principles that we use and you can put into practice today. And here's a principle that you can put into practice this weekend. If you're starting your Christmas shopping, remember, stay within your budget. No need to dig yourself into a debt hole, right? For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we have a brand new podcast ready for you each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage and click on podcast. Again, thank you so much for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.